Hey, and welcome to the 12 Stone Church podcast. Thank you so much for taking time to be a part of today's message. We hope it inspires you, encourages you, and deepens your faith in Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Welcome to 12 Stone, Les Lawrenceville campus. You help me welcome in all the other campuses around the territory and online and people gathering in groups. Today, we start a conversation that I've been looking forward to for 2 or 3 months now. I've been in a journey personally with God, and God has given me what I would say a burden for our church, for you. And I have had a prompt to pray for you in ways that I can't appropriately explain from a stage, but there is a weight and a burden and honestly a beautiful privilege that God's given me in this season, because I believe the conversation we're about to have is like a real world conversation. Like, this isn't like a churchy in the walls of the church conversation. This is a reality that I think we live with. And if you're a follower of Jesus, this is, I believe, gonna speak to some of the things we feel in here, the tensions we manage in here, the complexity of what we manage in here. If you're not a follower of Jesus yet, I'm so glad you're with us. Will you hang through this series of conversations? Because I believe there's a God who wants to know you personally. There's a God who wants to give you freedom from your past and your shame and your stuff. And the God has a purpose for you to discover and a difference for your life to make while you live. You're not a mistake. There's a God who loves you. But equally, there is a complexity in our world today that if you're a follower of Jesus, it's hard to figure out how to live in a culture that is shifting and drifting at a rapid pace. And I'm only 42 years old, but I've just watched in this last 5-10 years, it feels like there's a drift that's happening, a confusion that's happening, a complexity where we're abandoning sort of biblical standards. Like, what did God say is truth about marriage and sexuality and about how we're to live, that there's this loss of value of a human life. Like, I watch the news and it's like murder and crime is rampant. It's commonplace, where it's like, what happened to like the imago Dei, the image of God, the idea that every human was created in the image of God? Like, we're drifting into this weird place of like just a cold heartedness that we've started to justify our own hate for people who are not like us. Like, if you don't believe like I believe, you don't see what I see, I have a right to not just dislike you, but to hate you. And somehow our culture's drifting into that. There's gender confusion, there's mental health, there's depression growing. Guys, this is a real world thing. It's gotten increasingly complicated. Fear and confusion is on the rise everywhere. I don't know about you, I sat and watched the news last night as I'm waiting for flipping rockets and drones to go to Israel. Like, what's going on? There's a fear. I'm sitting there praying like, God, what are you doing? What's going on? Like, I look around and there's just a weight. There's even some churches and some denominations who have embraced the cultural shift and they've sort of abandoned scripture. Like, we know better than God's word, and they've just conformed to things. And you're like, what do you do with that as a follower of Jesus? Then on a personal level, my own kids, your kids, schools, they're wondering, what is truth? How do I live as a Christian? Like, I go to Wednesdays and I'm there worshiping, then I go to school the next day, and it's like, it's complicated. And I've talked with enough of you. Like, I've sat down in coffees and lunches with dads going, bro, help me. It's gotten really tricky to lead out as a follower of Jesus in a world that's complicated. And here's what I believe. I believe that the book of Daniel is a playbook for us today. And we're going to walk through the story of Daniel that God in his kindness gave us in his word. And I believe it's a playbook for how we engage the world as followers of Jesus. And because you can already feel the pin drop silence of the weight of this conversation, I want to give us 3 risks I think we have in this conversation. And I'm probably going to repeat these same 3 every week of the series, and it'll make more sense next week than it does this week, but you'll see it as we unpack. I think there's 3 like risks that are at play. The first is this, the risk of making it personal. That like something I'm saying is coming at you as a person or this group of people. I just want to say this, I'm an equal opportunity offender. In fact, I don't think I've done my job unless at some point in the next 6 weeks, every person leaves a little bit ticked off. Here's what I'd ask. Will you give me the grace to speak the truth of God? And when you feel that little like ticked off moment, will you just make your first response, God, are you trying to convict something in me? Are you challenging something in me? Will you take it to God first before you take it to emails? And again, my email is kevin.myers@12stone.com. Secondly, he's done that to me for like 15 years, it's my turn. Second risk, first is we take it personal. Second is this, is that we make it political. I'll just say it bluntly. Will you please not dumb down and lower this biblical conversation to politics? Like this, the kingdom of God is so much higher than political stuff. God's not riding a donkey or an elephant, folks. This is not a political conversation. It's a biblical conversation. The third risk is that you just watch one part and draw conclusions without listening to the rest of the conversation. It's like watching a Netflix show and watching episodes 2, 4, and 6 and skipping episodes 3, 5, and 1, I guess, whatever number I left out. And you're like, what's going on with the plot? I don't know. Of course you don't. You missed all half the stuff. Like, would you just consider saying, I will be here for the next 6 weeks? Because this conversation builds on itself. If I could do like a 4-hour podcast and you'd listen, I'd do the whole series in 1 4-hour swoop, but you'd all fall asleep. So we're gonna do it in 6 conversations over 6 weeks, but they all build on each other. Today is the introduction, the setup for the book of Daniel and the conversation we're gonna be in. And you're gonna leave going, what do I do next? Perfect, we're gonna talk about it next week. But I need to lay out what we're doing because together we're gonna explore God's clear and compelling answers for a complex and confusing world. And here's the question, how do we live wisely in a complex world? That's a big question. One that's gonna take 6 weeks to cover. And because there is a weight to the conversation, I wanna add a little bit of fun to the conversation. How many of y'all grow up and you experienced the beauty of the Nintendo Entertainment System? Anybody? Congratulations, you're middle-aged. Welcome to the club. I grew up playing this guy, man. Like, it was fun. Mario. I can tell you your order of birth based on the character you played. If you're a Luigi, you are not a firstborn. Sorry, your older brother or older sister took Mario. So I grew up playing Nintendo, and there was a beauty and a simplicity to the game. Like, you just went left to right, up, and down. Jump up, hit the box, get the money, get the flower, get the mushroom to get bigger, and you capture the princess or slay the dragon, whatever you're doing. There was sort of a simplicity to the left, right, up, down of Mario, the 8-bit reality of video games. And then at Christmas, my wife and I finally caved and got our kids a PS5 for Christmas. And my wife grew up in the Dr. Mario scene, and she can, like, my goodness gracious, it stresses me out. She can do, like, the top level and beat it. It's incredible. But if you handed her a PlayStation 5 to play, not Dr. Mario, but to play Madden, she's lost. Because Madden is not just up, down, left, right. It's three-dimensional in the world. And when I played Nintendo, it was like a two-button world, A and B and a little dial to move left, right, up, down. And then I hold the PlayStation 5 and go, there's more buttons than I have fingers. And if you don't know how to play, it's very complicated. Here's the point. Our world has gotten more complicated. It was never perfect and easy, but it's certainly become more complicated. And many of us are still trying to bring 2-button answers to like a 15-button world. And churches, it's time that the church brought the full, complete, and clear word of God to the complexity of our world. And I don't want to offer you 2-button solutions to 15-button complexities. And so across this next 6 weeks, we're going to play with this video game thing, but really, we're going to play with the reality that as the world gets more complicated, God actually has truth and answers for the complexity. God's not sitting up there going, oh no, I wrote the Bible for the Nintendo world and it's a PlayStation world. What am I supposed to do? I did not see this coming. God's not surprised, and his word actually speaks to where we live. Because listen, just if you could be honest with yourself, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. If you're a follower of Jesus, tell me you've not looked around going, this has gotten complicated. How do I love God and love people? The greatest commandment. In a complicated world, how do you raise kids in a shifting and complicated culture? How do you build a business and a career in a complicated world? And how do you do all those things and not lose your soul in the process? See, we're going to have a real conversation as followers of Jesus for the church that I believe God has complex answers for a complex world. And I want to bring us on a journey, because like when you start to look around and go, I see the world drifting from things. Are we supposed to like get picket signs and walk around? Are we supposed to boycott companies? I grew up in the boycott era where it's like, they did something we don't like. We're going to boycott. Is that what we're supposed to do? How do we live in this world with wisdom? Like, let me say it this way. As followers of Jesus, where do we need to like just relax? Like, take a breath, guys. It's okay. Where do you need to refuse? Like, it's okay for you, but for me, if I follow Christ, I can't do that. And then where do you get to a point where you're like, I just have to remove myself from this because I can't even be around this as a follower of Jesus. Don't pretend this is not complicated, but equally don't assume that God doesn't have answers for it. And I believe the book of Daniel is a playbook for us today. And in order to get into it, I need to give us a little historical context. God created his people in the reality of Israel. And he said, I will be your God, you will be my people. And it was created as a theocracy. And what a theocracy is this, is that God is the actual king of the nation. Like there's not like elected officials in play, like God's the king. And for generation after generation, that's how it played out. And then eventually God's people started looking around and they started getting like jealous of other countries because their king was in heaven. Other countries had real physical earthly kings. And here's how the story starts to play out in the nation of Israel. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and they came to Samuel, who was God's prophet at the time. And they said, you are old. Look at your neighbor and say, you're old. It's okay. Even if they're not, just tell them you're old. It's kind of a dig. And then say, you look 5 years younger than whatever your age is. Say it nicely. You can say that in church. They looked at Samuel and said, listen, you are old and your sons do not follow your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have. This is like, if you're a parent, you've heard this. All my friends have fill in the blank. Why can't I? All my friends have phones. I need one. You're six. Shut your mouth. You don't have a phone. Some parents like, come on now. Thank you. They're like looking around at the other countries. Like they have kings and they have kings. Why can't we have a king? When Samuel heard this, he's like, he's grieved by it. Here's how it continues. But when they said, give us a king to lead us, it displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told Samuel, and this is God speaking now, listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you, Samuel, they have rejected, but they have rejected me, God, as their king. And in that moment, Israel made a decision that would lead them down some very complicated paths. You see, have you ever heard the term unintended consequences? See, when God was their king, God was their king. Then you get an earthly king, and now that's your king. But you can't have both. See, when God was the king, he was the one who defended, protected, provided, and then you have an earthly king, now he's the guy who does those things. It's like this, when I was in an apartment, I was like, man, someday I want a yard. I want grass, touch grass. I want to get out there, and I want to be in, and I want to have a spot for my kids. Play ball. I want a yard. One day I got a yard. You know what else I got? Yard work. Have you mowed the lawn with pollen? It's like an attack on the very soul of who you are. I'm like, God, take me home. This is miserable. See, the unintended consequence. I want a real king. Okay, you got it, but you got the yard work that comes with that. And as that played out, eventually God's people got to a place where they rebelled against him. They dismissed him, and this is how the book of Daniel picks up, because eventually a foreign nation came in and overthrew Israel, Judah, Jerusalem, God's people, and took them away. In fact, our guys had a lot of fun with this, and I want to play this out. I want to catch us up historically. What is the lead up to the book of Daniel? And to do that, I want to play out a little Nintendo cartridge. Those of you who are under the age of 35, you don't know what this is. This was a video game back in the day. And let me see if we can get this guy to work. Put it in and... Uh-oh. Oh, you know what? You know what? You know, hold up. I don't know what to do with this. Hold on. You know what? If you know, you know. 9 times out of 10, that's all it takes. Let's try that one more time and go. There we go.
The year is 605 BC. For almost 400 years, Jerusalem has been the capital of Israel. With Solomon's Temple being the centerpiece of worship for the Hebrew people. But now, the nation of Israel has been overtaken by King Nebuchadnezzar and the ever-expanding Babylonian Empire. Fresh off his conquest, the king requires thousands of young nobles from influential Hebrew families to be sent to Babylon to assimilate to Babylonian customs and the worship of their gods. Daniel and his friends are among them. They now have a simple choice to make. Bow to the false gods of Babylon or die for Yahweh. They chose instead a more complicated third path. To live wisely in Babylon with Jerusalem beliefs. They chose to play different.
Come on, somebody. You can't tell, our graphic design team are video game junkies, and they're having a blast with this series. It's going to be fun. Here's the point. That's the lead up to the book of Daniel. They're overthrown. And these young kids are taken into captivity. In fact, here's how it says it in Scripture. This is Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem, besieged it, means attacked it, and the Lord delivered the king of Judah into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. So he comes in, takes it over, steals the treasures from God in his temple, and then he carried them off to the temple of his god in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his god. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, and these young boys that he's saying, you are worthy of being in service to the king of Babylon. Daniel was one of these young kids. And this is the layout of what was happening in this book of Daniel. And these young men didn't have any physical defect. They were handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. Saying, listen, these are the cream of the crop. We're taking the best young minds of Israel, God's people, bringing them to Babylon. Why? Because he told them he was to teach them the language and the literature of the Babylonians. Saying, we want to go take this conquered nation and take their young people, bring them to Babylon and enculturate them into Babylonian culture. And this is how it would work back then. Of course, you would overthrow other nations and then you'd make them part of your nation and you would teach them how to do this. And this is where the book of Daniel picks up. And now God's people have been overthrown and they're now all exiles. And exiles is not just a Bob Marley song. For those of you who are older, I'm trying to give you a little help there, Bob Marley. Here's what an exile is. It's a person who is removed from their home country and located to a foreign one. They're taken from their home, pulled out and put in a brand new place. And the complexity of a new land to live in is it has new languages, new customs, new clothing, new values, new priorities. And they don't share in the worship of the one true God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel. And you're like, thanks for the history lesson, bro. But what does this have to do with us? We're getting there. But I want you to see it. So Daniel was probably, and his friends were probably about 16 years old when this happened. So they had experienced 15 years growing up in Jerusalem, in Israel. And what was Israel, Jerusalem like? Israel and Jerusalem, they were not perfect, obviously. They had rebellion, they had their own issues inside of Israel. But for the most part, there was an agreement on, we acknowledge God is Lord. And for the most part, there was an agreement on godly principles and beliefs. And there was sort of a shared common value system and priorities. If I was to give you a picture, it'd be this. If you were to jump into the river of Israel and Jerusalem, the current of the river would push you towards God. And although they didn't live it perfectly, they had an agreement that what God said was up and down is up and down. What God says wrong and right is wrong and right. What God says good and evil is what they believe was good and evil, Jerusalem. Then at 16 years old, Daniel and these young boys get pulled into a very different culture, different nation, different world. So what would it have been like living in Babylon, where in Jerusalem, God is king, in Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar is king? We just read the name. There's Babylonian principles and beliefs and culture where they don't share the same values as the Bible we have or the God that they serve. They don't share God's value systems or priorities. And if I was to say it again, back to the whole river thing, if you were to jump into the river of Babylon, the current would push you away from God. And they don't agree with what God says is up, down, what God says is good, bad, what God says is right and wrong. They didn't share those things. And so here's the reality. It's harder to live for God in Babylon than it is in Jerusalem. And the story of Daniel is the story of four teenage boys trying to figure out. I grew up in Jerusalem. I know this God we speak of. Now I'm in somewhere new. How do I do this now? Because in Babylon, if you're going to continue to honor and serve God, you're swimming against the current. In Jerusalem, if you want to honor God, you can sort of hop in, sit on an inner tube, and it'll slowly take you in the right direction at least. And I want to say this clearly. What was physical and material for Daniel, they were physically removed from Jerusalem and brought to Babylon. That's not our reality. What is true for us that is similar to Daniel is that we have a spiritual reality that we have today. We're not physically moved to another country, but there's a spiritual thing at play. And I need to say this clearly. I am not paralleling Israel to modern day America. We are not the new Israel. I already said this, so I'll just say it again. Israel was a theocracy. We are a democracy. I don't know about you. I've never had the option to vote for God in an election. Who'd you vote for? God? Duh, me too. Did he win? Of course, he's God. I never had that option. I had people on the ballot. We're not a theocracy. I'm not paralleling this. I'm using Babylon the same way that the New Testament uses it. In Revelation and a few other places in the New Testament, it uses the word Babylon not as a place on a map, not as a place of geography, but as a spiritual disposition where something demands allegiance to an idol that is not God. And that is what Babylon is. And just to be super clear, we have never been a theocracy here, and we have never been a modern day Israel. If so, why 2,000 years ago did Peter and Paul write these things to the early church? He said this, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles." Foreigners and what? Exiles. "To abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul." What is he saying? You are an exile. You're not at home. This is not your home. Your address and your home are two different places, spiritually speaking. Here's how Paul says it. "But our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body." Saying, listen, your citizenship is not here. Spiritually speaking, you live here, but your citizenship is somewhere else. And by the way, this is not just America. Anybody who's listening to this, we have people listening in Canada and Europe and Africa right now. Wherever you live, you are not living in Jerusalem. You're living in Babylon. Here's how I'll say it. We are not living in Jerusalem. We are exiles in Babylon. And I need us to start here because we have to have a common understanding to even have the rest of the conversation, because we live in Babylon, but Babylon is not our home. You were created for heaven. You were created for your Father in heaven. And I'm having this conversation because I've talked to enough people that feel like, am I the crazy one? When I look around at the world around me, I'm like, I guess everybody else is like, this is how it's supposed to be, and this works, and this makes sense. And I'm sitting here quietly, like in a corner going, this place feels so foreign to the things I believe about Jesus and the things that the Bible says. Am I the crazy one? No, you were created for Babylon. You're just currently stuck in Jerusalem. Or you're created for Jerusalem. You're currently stuck in Babylon. Don't mix that up. That's why I'm teaching this. And I just want to give you a glimpse, because those boys would have had a culture shock from Jerusalem to Babylon. And there would have been this confusion of like, what do I do? Picture yourself at 16. I was ill-equipped to do what Daniel and these boys did. And I want you just to see some of the confusion that would have come. And I'm going to unpack this in greater detail next weekend. But here, among those who were chosen were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And I want you to see what they did for the confusion. The chief official gave them new names. See, those names are Hebrew names, Jewish names. The names their parents gave them. This is who you are, son. You are Daniel. And they went, we're going to just twist some things up. And they said, we're going to change them. From Daniel, they gave the name Belshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. And you're like, what do those mean? I'm going to tell you next week, because when you see the name changes, it actually reveals the agenda, the objective of the evil one and of Babylon. And we're going to unpack that next week, and you need to be here for it. But here's the point. They're trying to reorient these kids to accept the identity of Babylon, even though they were born to be God's people. And can we have a human moment? There's a weight to this conversation. By the time we're done at the end of week 6, the weight will have hopefully subsided and the hope will have replaced it, because this is not a hopeless situation, as we're going to see with Daniel and the boys. Just because they were exiled from Jerusalem doesn't mean that they were exiled from their God. And there is a beauty to the story and a roadmap to the story. But when I say these things, there's a human nature where you don't want to believe it. Like, well, this isn't Babylon. Or how long are we going to be stuck in Babylon? Like, I don't want it to be true. Can we go back to Jerusalem, whatever that means? Why? Because, like, Jerusalem was simpler. It wasn't perfect, but it was easier. When I jump in the river of Jerusalem, it takes me towards God. That's awesome. When I jump in the river of Babylon, it takes me away from God. And I'm just exhausting myself trying to swim against the current. Please tell me this doesn't have to be this way. I thought it was fascinating. This same sentiment existed back then. The book of Jeremiah was written, great parts of it were written contemporaneously to the book of Daniel. So at the same time Daniel's alive, Jeremiah's alive. And Jeremiah was a prophet of God, where God would speak and he would tell people what God's saying. At the end of Jeremiah chapter 28, Jeremiah is rebuking another prophet named Hananiah, not the one you know that's famous, a lesser known one, because God struck him dead because he lied. But anyway, we'll get to that. We'll get to that later. So Hananiah is a prophet back then, and he's speaking what the people are hoping to hear. He's saying things like this, like, here's the big picture. Don't unpack your suitcase in Babylon. You're not going to be here very long. And he started saying things like this. God is going to show up and overthrow Babylon, and within 2 years, you're going to be back home again in Jerusalem. And you know what I would have done if I lived back then? I think you'd done the same thing. When you hear a prophet Say what you want him to say. You know what you say? Won't he do it? I claim that. Hananiah, you are God's chosen man. I claim in the name of Jesus, may we be back to Jerusalem within 2 years. We'd have been celebrating, platforming, resharing that guy, because that's what I want to hear. Take me back to Jerusalem. And Jeremiah had to go, oh, goodness, okay. And he had to rebuke that prophet. And he wrote a letter to the exiles in Babylon by which Daniel would have read this letter. I love how the Bible connects dots. So this letter written in Jeremiah 29, Jeremiah's going, let me tell you what God's saying to those of you who are in exile in Babylon. And it's fascinating. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those that I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. In other words, unpack your suitcases. We're going to be here a while. And then plant gardens and eat what they produce. How long does it take for gardens to make fruit and food? It's not overnight. You're going to be here a while. And then marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. In other words, build your families in Babylon. Continuing. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. And by the way, pray for Babylon. Can I be blunt? Like, that's not what I would have expected. I'm Daniel. I'm 16. I watched an enemy nation come in, overthrow God's nation, bring me into exile into a pagan, ungodly nation with an ungodly culture. And he says, build a house, build a career, build a life, build a family, pray for Babylon. That's my enemy, God. How can I pray for them? God's going, no, this is what you do, because your peace and your prosperity is forever linked to the nation I put you in. And here's the reality. We are going to have to figure out how to live in Babylon, because there's not another option. And church, I have a burden over the next 5 weeks, because we have to learn how to live where we live, because there's no other place to run. And when you believe the prophecies of Hananiah and go, it's 2 years, you know what you tend to do? Hunker down, try to survive, just tighten up. We got to just avoid everything and eventually it'll get good. And God's going, you're not going to live for what ended up being 70 years in Babylon that way. We got to learn how to build houses and lives and careers and earn a living in Babylon. Have to learn how to build families and raise kids in Babylon. We have to learn to seek the peace and prosperity of where God's put us and pray and ask God to prosper the place we live. All of that without drifting from biblical truth, drifting from loving and worshiping God or loving and caring for people. We can't do all that and then make the people of Babylon our enemy and attack them. We're supposed to pray for them. We can't be in Babylon and then bow to their idols. My goodness, the complexity of all of this. There is a reality that we are in Babylon for the long haul. We better learn how to live here. And the only time that this will cease to be Babylon, by the way, is when Jesus returns. There is not a Jerusalem that will come to where we live and change everything and make it Jerusalem, because it never was and it won't be again until Jesus comes. New heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem. He makes all the old things new again. He cleans up all the results of our sin. That's what the cross started. That's what he finishes when he returns. And that is where we live inside of this. And it's why we're playing around with the video game thing, because I believe there are problems that all we have as a church that we're equipped to answer with is two-button solutions. And I don't want that to be the truth anymore. I want to give us 10 and 12 and 15. I didn't even count them. I probably should have. 15 button answers to the complexity of the world we live in. You know what's fascinating about Daniel? He served under multiple kings in Babylon and had favor and influence with every king. He was, let me just say it blunt, he was liked by every king. And he did that also without losing the favor, influence, obedience to his God. There is a way to walk this world by which you don't have to sacrifice the truth of God or the relationships with people. That's what we're going to unpack over the next 5 weeks. In fact, I have a specific burden. As I read that passage from Jeremiah, they say, build your homes, raise kids, get married, build families. I have a burden for families because I'm in it with my kids. How in the world do you teach your kids the truth of the Bible without sending them to school and they become either weird or they become haters and jerks? It is hard. That's why we're doing this month in the series. April 29th, right here at the Lawrenceville campus, 7 to 8:30, Pastor Kevin and I are literally just going to do 90 minutes for parents. If you are a parent that is raising kids or a grandparent raising your kids or a foster parent, if you're raising kids in this culture of Babylon, we want to teach you how to do that. It's not going to be streamed, not going to be available. Either you're here or you're not. We'll do it for 25 people. We'll do it for 2,500 people. But there's a burden that we have to get into the nitty-gritty, the weeds of how we do this. And parents, we want to help you in that. So if you want to get in on that, text Parent Night to 37748. You can do it now. We'll talk about this for the next couple weeks. And on that form, you'll sign up to be there. And then there's a place for you to ask questions. And I want to do our best to answer your questions. Like you might be in the middle of something in parenting going, how in the world do you do it? I'm not pretending like I have it all solved, but I think the Bible has answers that speak to where we live. And for parents, I want to invite you to be a part of that because here's the framework that we'll use for Parent Night and for the rest of the series. We've established we live in Babylon and there's nowhere to run or go. We have to figure out how we live in Babylon. And the truth is there's a continuum to how you live in Babylon. And I already said it, but I'll say it on this now. Where do you need to relax in Babylon? Some of you are like, when that hits you and you're like, you can't relax in Babylon. God might be talking to you in the series. There are places where you don't have to fight every battle that hits your world. Relax. And God might whisper to your soul, there's places you need to relax. And then equally, where do you get to places where you have to refuse in Babylon? You do you, boo-boo. But for me, I can't play like that. Like I follow God and he has things and standards and he says left, right, wrong. I'm not trying to change you, Babylon. I just can't play in what you're playing. And then eventually, where should you consider saying, I have to remove myself from the things of Babylon. I can't even be around this stuff. It's more rare than you probably think if you're wired to live this way. But there are consequences to making that decision that you can't avoid either. We're going to talk about that. The story of Daniel walks us through all of this, and we're going to unpack that next week because I think there are people that are prone to just live down here, and the complexity of Babylon makes you say, I'm out, do whatever you want. Tired of trying to decipher how to live for God here, I'm just going to relax on everything, and God might say, hey, I need to bring you this way. There's others of you that you're living down here sort of going, I'm just not playing any part of Babylon. I'm out of all of it. And God's going, really? What's that whole salt and light thing I told you about? Like to be salt and light in a dark world. Like you can't just live in like a nunnery up on top of a mountain the rest of your life. There's got to be some, and I told you, at some point you're going to be ticked at some point in the series, and it's going to probably come in this conversation. We're going to talk about that and unpack that next week. And the thing that's fascinating to me is that for Daniel, it was very obvious. I used to live here on the map. I was taken. Now I live here. And today, you're going back to the same house and the same world, the same geography, but maybe with a different understanding. And maybe the places you used to get angry at the world around you, God might just whisper, hey, dude, that's Babylon. Be in Babylon. Of course they don't follow the same things we do as followers of Jesus. They've not met Jesus. Why would they bow to this stuff? You might have a compassion and empathy for people you didn't have. Equally, there might be a new awareness of like, oh my goodness, I have to, if I'm not swimming, I'm drifting because the current's pushing me this way. My goodness, I can't just go complacent in Babylon because the current pushes this way. It's not Jerusalem. It doesn't push us that way. I know it's heavy, but let me just say it this way. You can live out Jerusalem values while in Babylon. as Daniel and the boys did. They were 16. And we'll see as we walk through the story of Daniel that they had been removed and exiled from Jerusalem, but they had not been removed from their God. And parents, there is hope. We're gonna unpack it. Singles, there is hope. There's hope in your dating. There's hope in your marriage. There's hope in your career. There is a God who wants to teach us how to live wisely in a complex world. And if you want to get ahead for next week, read Daniel chapter 1. That's where we're going to sit. We're going to begin to unpack this piece here. And I asked the campus pastors this week if I could close with prayer, because I want to close this way. And I want to go ahead and give you the question we're asking next weekend. It's this: how do you stay rooted in a culture that's drifting, and the current's pushing you this way? How, as followers of Jesus, do we stay rooted? We're gonna unpack it. So here's what I wanna do. Can we stand here and across all the campuses? And as you stand, the prayer teams, they can start to make their way to the front. And here's what we do every week, and I'll tell you this week: if there's something you want prayer for, we'd love to pray for you. Doesn't have to be something crazy big. You can just say, I'm discouraged in this area, pray. We say, yeah. It can be something big, it can be whatever. Prayer teams, Chris, you can come on and bring them out right now. I want to pray for us. I just want to invite you. I know there's a heaviness to the start of the conversation, but there has to be a heaviness in order for us to unpack the hope that is Jesus and the hope that is God with us in Babylon. So please be with us next weekend, but I want to pray. So bow your heads. So Jesus, thank you that you are victorious over sin and death. Thank you for your Holy Spirit now in us. No matter where we are on a map, you are in us. And God, I pray that over the course of the next 5 weeks, would you deepen our understanding of who you are, deepen our understanding of your word, give us a compassion for people, and teach us how not to mismanage how we carry the name of Jesus in a world like this. Would we be known for our love and our kindness, and equally, would we not trade love and kindness for your truth? And we bow to you only and still love people. God, would you help us in this season as a church? Would this be a season by which you take us to new levels of depth and maturity? Would there be parents that go, I get it now. I know how to disciple my kids. Would there be people that go, I get it now. It's why I'm drifting. And would you call a church up to live like Daniel? We would live for God, even when we're in Babylon. Jesus' name, amen. And as we leave, for God is good, and all the time. I'll see you next week.
Thank you again for spending time with us today. A special thanks to those of you who generously give through 12 Stone. It is because of you that this ministry is possible. And if you want to learn more about 12 Stone, make sure you follow us on social at 12 Stone Church and check out a location or a watch party near you. And if you enjoyed the podcast, you could subscribe, share it with your friends, hit the share button, or even take a screenshot and throw it in your social stories. And make sure to tag 12 Stone Church. Let it be a blessing to somebody else. Thank you again, and we'll catch you on the next one.